And I would invite you to take your copy of the Word of God and locate Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. It's the first Sunday of a new year. And again, it is our privilege to study God's Word together. The title of our study this morning is Coming Out of Quarantine, based on Luke 17. Somewhat parallel to our study in the Gospel of Mark, taking a journey with Jesus. And the key truth that jumps out at us in these passages of Scripture is coming out of the quarantine is a golden opportunity to fall on our face. And by the way, if I didn't say, we have children's church, I think, meeting upstairs during our time together this morning. Coming out of quarantine, what we discover in chapter 17 resonates with our life, connects with our life as we start off a new year. And the truth that undergirds everything in this passage is that coming out of quarantine is a golden opportunity to fall on our face. Now, fall on our face, that doesn't seem very appealing. You come home from school at the end of the day and your parents ask you, how did your day go? Well, I fell on my face. You know, as a parent, you're going to have a bit of repair work to do. You come home from work and you're greeted by your family. They ask you, how did your day go? I fell on my face. It tells us that something probably negative and probably quite negative happened. But here's a passage of Scripture that calls us all to fall on our face. And we cannot avoid face fall in 2021. But we can choose where to face fall as the days unfold. Now, we're coming from the perspective that the book in front of us is God's Word, that it has eternal truth. And so we're coming from the perspective that it is a safe bet to look here and to find an appropriate facefall target. Where should I fall on my face? How should I fall on my face? What does facefalling mean? Look like? And if God speaks into this question and this issue, then I certainly don't want to miss the target when it comes to falling on my face. So the question before us is, where will we and where should we face fall in 2021? Our scriptures are open to the 17th chapter of Luke. I invite you to step into the 11th verse with me. And we'll look at verses 11 through 19 this morning. Verse 11. While Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem, connects with where we've been in the Gospel of Mark. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, passing through Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him, and they raised their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When Jesus saw them, he said to them, go and show yourself to the priests. And as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at his feet. Notice the face plant. giving thanks to Jesus. And by the way, he was a Samaritan. This is a racially charged issue. Then Jesus answered and said, "Where'd everybody else go? Where are they? Was no one found to who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And Jesus said to him, and step into the text, "Stand up and go. Your faith has made you well." Well, why this text now? Maybe you're wondering that. I mean, it seems like the preacher should have chose this text at Thanksgiving time. And I've used this text at Thanksgiving before. I mean, this seems like a Thanksgiving piece of scripture. All about the thankful guy and the nine non-thankful guys. Maybe he missed Thanksgiving. And maybe the pastor missed Christmas. We just had Christmas and he missed the new year. And here we have communion in front of us. Why this text today? As we dig into it more and more and more, we sense the spirit of Thanksgiving. We sense the spirit of Christmas. We sense the spirit of a new year. We sense the spirit of communion. In this text, we sense the spirit again, remembering the spirit of Thanksgiving as we remember the ever-on faithfulness of God. The ever-on faithfulness of God. That sounds like a Christmas or a Thanksgiving emphasis. What we stress at Thanksgiving. As we look in this text, we also see the spirit of Christmas as we sense again the need to celebrate the ever-on favor of God in downsizing himself into humanity. That's the stress of Christmas. Christ, while not minimizing his deity, downsizes himself into humanity. In this text, we sense the spirit that bubbles up in a new year, at the beginning of a new year. And we anticipate the ever-on freshness of another day with Jesus Christ. The freshness of another day with our Messiah. And then as we come to the communion table, we sense, and we'll see in this text, a stress on the glory of God. And we glory in God's ever-on forgiveness of our sins. Do you know what it means to have your sins forgiven? Do you know what it means to have peace with God? This is an opportunity for you today to understand it in your head, bring it into your heart, and act on it. You can have eternal peace with God. And he's going to show you how. As we look here, we are reminded God's faithfulness is ever on. His favor of humanity as we come in repentance to him is ever on. The freshness of a new day is ever on as we come to him again and again every day. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies are new every morning. And we are amazed at the forgiveness of God, where the switch is always on. So that's a bit of why this text today. What does this text have to do with my life? As we unwrap it a little bit, I want you to come back with me to the early part of this book, to the second chapter and verse 10. Let's make a couple of connections here to what it means to fall on our face. In Luke chapter 2, verse 10, we have some people who are amazed, awestruck in the presence of God. In verse 10, the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. Today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And they gives them a sign. And then suddenly there appeared with that angel, that messenger, a heavenly host, a heavenly choir, with these words, "Glory to God in the highest." They were amazed at the glory of God, and they broke out in song. Then as you work your way down through that passage, as we typically do at Christmas, we see the shepherds coming into the equation and responding in like kind, praising God, sharing with others all that they'd seen. What does this text have to do with my life and your life at the beginnings of a new year? It connects us to that angel choir. It connects us to that group of shepherds in the field. And it connects us back in Luke 17 to a group of men who are struggling to survive. "Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice." This text connects us to those three groups, angels, shepherds, and lepers this morning. It reminds us that we're not alone in our assignment, which is to always give God the glory, to always speak well of him, to always be amazed at his majesty. No, we will not always understand every detail of what God is doing. Case in point, last year. But we must always give God glory. This is our assignment. What propels us forward in this assignment? Three realities from Luke 17. Three realities concerning our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Reality number one in verse 11. Reality number one, Christ shows up in your everyday life. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. And in verse 12, he enters a village. Look at that word. I encourage you to underline it, burn it into your thought process. Jesus entered. Christ shows up in your everyday life. Jesus has been and is on a cross-country, cross-culture, cross-driven focus. Moving, 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 moving. His journey to Jerusalem is neither hodgepodge or haphazard. Everything and everyone on the travel tour has meaning, carries meaning. There's no meandering, no mistakes, nothing comes out missing. Especially in the Gospel of Mark, which emphasizes the rapidity, the speed at which Jesus moves through life to the cross. Even with all that energy, that high-octane movement, there is a personal connection. His travel is pointed. It is purposeful, but mark this, it is also personal. Enter into this, because he has entered into your life. And he's going to enter into your life in 2021. Jesus' movement is never at the expense of people. He missed no one. He missed nothing. And he's not missing unaware, distracted in what is going on in your life. I hope you find that very encouraging individually, and that we all find that encouraging as a church. Jesus' ministry is personal. He shows up in our everyday life. And number two, a second reality of our Lord that propels us forward in our assignments, he shows up in every detail. And what I want to stress this morning, every detour of our life. Have you had some detours last year? Yeah, the whole world has. And here before us in the text are 10 men who've had a pretty significant detour in their life. And they teach us, they instruct us in positive and some negative ways. Reality number two, Christ shows up in every detail and every detour of life. He's on the way to Jerusalem, passing through the area, and verse 12, he enters a village. Well, wherever you're at with this person called Jesus Christ, you may not agree with me at the moment. You may not have landed where I've landed, but I encourage you to track with me. And let's track from this perspective that this book accurately describes, identifies the person Jesus Christ as the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Track with me. I'd encourage you to track with me for a little bit with taking that perspective that I submit to you. And taking that, here is the King of Kings, the King of everything, the King of the universe, walking through life, walking through this earth, and he intentionally steps into an unnamed community of unknown citizens who are struggling, dealing with an unwanted group in their midst. It's kind of like nobody wanted the leper crowd to hang out in their community because everyone's concerned about their health, about the contagiousness of their condition. And here's the King of Kings going through and specifically choosing to enter this community, to engage all these people and another group of people in a couple moments. Look at the people involved here. Let's look at take a couple snapshots. Snapshot number one is identification. We've got a group of 10 men who are identified as lepers. If you step into the history of that day, this was a contagious disease. It was a challenging disease. It called for isolation from the community until they were declared well. You know, we think we have... This last year, we've learned a number of phrases and words that we think have been original to 2020, but if you've read your Bible through the years, you may have already made this connection. The words quarantine, timeout, social distancing. That's what these men were facing. That's what the community was dealing with. Those were the expectations. But as we listen to the scriptures here, These men raised their voice at this man walking through the community, and this is what they said: "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." They're privy to some information. Now, I'm not suggesting all of them had an eternal connection with God, but they have some information. They are going to be exposed to some information. They're going to share some information with others in just a couple of lines. And God is using some detours in their life for his heavenly agenda. As we dig into this passage of Scripture, notice the goodness of God and the compassion of God. I'll give you two answers for the price of one blank if you're following the outline. Notice the goodness of God and the compassion of God in a world of evil. One of the questions that challenges people today, including people who regularly walk into religious services, is this question: why is there evil in the world? And where is God in a world of suffering? I will touch on that vital question a bit this morning. This is a question you all need to wrestle with. We all need to wrestle with. And it's become obvious over the last couple of decades that the body of Christ needs to do a little better job in answering this question. We have the answer, but we need to do a better job at articulating the answer. As people are struggling with where is God in a world of suffering, I encourage you to look in the Scriptures and notice the goodness and the compassion of God in a world of evil. As you trace the story of the Bible, it lays out for us a history of the world. It gives us the explanations for why there is evil in the world and why there is any redeeming elements of hope in the world. The story of the Bible takes us back to the very beginning, God breathing into inanimate nothingness, his breath, his life. The apex of his creation is humanity. And the first woman and the first man are created in the garden. Perfect. Perfect relationship to one another. Perfect relationship with God. And they chose, the man and the woman, to rebel against God. And sin entered the picture. That original sin birthed death. That original sin birthed disease. That original sin birthed natural disasters. That original sin birthed racial disrespect and disharmony. God is not the originator of sin. Man is. But God is the originator of the cure. Let me introduce you to the cure. And let me ask you, do you have the cure this morning? And is the cure consuming you as we step into a new year? Jesus entered an insignificant village. And in the same way, he will enter into your life that is significant because you're only here by the creative act and will of God. Jesus entered the village, and verse 14, he saw the suffering. Look at that word and underline it. Burn it into your thought process. entered and saw. Jesus saw the situation, and then he acts on it. So let's see what there is to see in the saw of Jesus. In this moment in history, the public health reality is fluid and dangerous. There is a public health crisis across history as we step into this time in Scripture. Health was precarious, diseases rampant, and any of these diseases had the potential to rapidly wipe out massive populations of people. And down through history, the Black Plague decimated the majority of Europe. The Spanish flu, influenza, hit hard in this country. And now we're dealing with whatever it is we're dealing with now. That connects us with history. It connects us with the problem. And may it connect us with the cure, the ultimate cure for all of us. Notice the goodness of God in a world of evil. God refused to be silent in a world of suffering. He saw their suffering and he acted. And he's already acted to protect the masses as well as the individual. God laid out in the early verses of the Bible some health directives in an admittedly weird and wacky world in a book called Leviticus. Yeah, I started reading the Bible again, target to read it all the way through in 2021, and I was looking for the plan that I wanted to use and looking to print one off, and I came across as there were several options before me online. Some of the plans said, you know, here, read so much of the New Testament, so much of the Old Testament. And by the way, we left out Leviticus. So you can just get rid of Leviticus because it admittedly is a challenging book to read through. But Leviticus was God's loving protection for the individual and the masses. And in that particular book, third book of the New Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, he put some stress on isolation, social distancing. He put some stress on inspection. He put some stress on community and the dangers of contamination and the need for containment. It may not be the edge of your seat reading at times, but at times it is. But it shows God's love. Now, while you're kind of trying to decide if you're going to read Leviticus or not, how about I just summarize the book for you in about three or four statements, and then you can work it in. Here's Leviticus. Number one, wash your hands often. Number two, don't pick your nose. Number three, don't pick your friend's nose. Number four, wash your hands often. There you have the book of Leviticus. But while we smile, find great comfort that God was concerned about all the details of life, so much so that he took this clueless group of millions of people called the tribe of Israel, the nation of Israel, and gave them directions on how to safely live in the world in which they were part of. God refused to be silent to human sufferings, and it is good for us to notice the goodness and compassion of God in a world of evil. Also notice the response of people to Christ's compassion and love. They were cleansed. Jesus healed the lepers. We've looked at this in detail at other times, so I'm not going to do so much of that today. But notice their response. God refused to be silent. They refused to be silent. Parched and rescued lips refused to be silent when their suffering was over. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They needed mercy because they were in a situation they couldn't deal with by themselves. Also notice the title they use, Jesus, Master. In their cry for relief, there is also a cry for respect. They share some information with us. They're going to share some information with others in just a moment. We get the sense that, at least in a small microcosm, that this group of lepers understand that Jesus is more than just a good doctor for the moment. And at least one understands completely that Jesus is Lord of life and Savior of our soul. And you may have come in today, you may have tuned in today, not having what we sometimes call a relationship with God. And if you were to die today, you're not sure what happens next, you're not sure where you would go, you're not sure if you're in the right position with God. Let me give you some words of hope. We are called to agree with this truth that Jesus is Lord and Jesus is Savior. We're called, as we look at the reality of who we are and who Christ is, to understand that we are a sinner, that our sin separates us from God, and there is nothing we can do to close the gap. As we look at the life of Christ, his claims and his conduct, we come to understand that Jesus is the bridge. Jesus is the key. And believing that, we cross the bridge in faith. Confessing that we are a sinner, confessing that Jesus is our Savior, and embracing the gift of salvation that he's given to us, that he makes available to us. You know, none of us are getting out of here alive. The statistics tell us one out of one people die. The question is, where will we end up after death? When our face plants in the ground for the last time, where's our hope? My friend, the hope of all hopes, the truth is, Jesus Christ loves you and died for you. And through what he did on the cross and in that tomb, you have hope for today and hope for tomorrow. When we come to meet this glorious Christ, we are called to agree that Jesus is greater than I am, that Jesus is greater than anyone else is, and that Jesus Christ alone deserves the glory, my respect, and my worship. Jesus entered a village, he saw the need, and then he spoke. Verse 14, underline, he said, he spoke. He entered, he saw, he spoke. He does not remain silent. You work your way through the passage, you see the healing experience and the response of the 11 or the 10 lepers. Reality number three. Christ shows up in our life. He shows up in the details and the detours. And number three, he shows up with direction. He shows up with your life direction, my life direction. And we see three directions for us in the remaining passage. It serves as great application for the week ahead. Go and show yourselves to the priest. Direction number one, go public. Go to the public health inspectors as the king's messengers with your testimony as my witnesses. Number one, go public. Here are these men dealing with a socially isolating disease. They are restricted from being in community. And the only way they get to come back into the community is to be healed and then be declared, scrutinized, evaluated, and assessed by a group of individuals known as priests who were called to be the public health inspectors of the day. And that runs us back into the book of Leviticus. So to re-enter society, there must first be a public declaration by these priests. Now remember, as we've walked with Jesus through Mark, these priests are unbelieving and hostile when it comes to Christ, to the message of Christ. In fact, they're the ones who work overtime to have Jesus murdered. And in the mercy of God, God reaches out into this unknown city, to this unwanted group of lepers. But in the mercy of God, he also reaches out to some hostile men to his message. These lepers must go to these priests and say, "We are cleansed, we are healed." What's the natural question of these priests? Well, how did that happen? And they are going to be brought face to face with the power of Jesus Christ. In mercy, God uses plagues and pandemics to bring needed words of hope to hurting people and to hostile crowds, leaving them without excuse. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us, is what needs to come from any one and everyone's lips. Go and show yourself to the priest. These are words of indictment to anyone who will not fall at the feet of Jesus and live there. Are these words of indictment for you this morning? As he reaches out, as he seeks to speak to you right now, and if you step back, if you put your hands up and say, "No, not for me now," the words of Jesus indict you. You need the mercy of Christ. Don't run from the words, run to the words. Run to the man. Run to the Savior. These are words of indictment. They are words of invitation. Because regardless of your past, whatever your past is, the words of invitation are there. His words reach out to sinners. They reach out to rebels, which is the only reason any of us have hope. These are words of invitation for us. Go public as the king's messengers. You know, as we come to the end of a year and the beginning of another year, it is such a fitting time to evaluate, to be open, to be honest. And we are reminded, as we've been reminded often in this last year, how easy it is to ignore God when life is easy. When life is going well and we can do what we want to do, when we want to do it, how we want to do it, it is so easy for God to just kind of get pushed to the side, neglected for another day. It's so easy to forget God unless we face challenges. We are reminded we should always be giving God the time that he deserves. We are reminded as we look into this passage, as we look into the reality of our world today, that when our neighbor is facing challenges, he is often more receptive to Christ's hope. It's our responsibility to walk through those doors and share Christ's hope with them. Three directions: go public as the King's messengers. Number two, and we drop into that last verse, Jesus said to the one man, stand up and go, your faith has made you well. Direction number two, go forward, standing up, confident in your saving faith. What about the other nine men? Seemed they missed an opportunity. An opportunity to be a part of something that is amazing. The people of God. How tragic. Direction number three. Get in the choir and blend together, giving God the glory. Have you ever listened to a large collection of people sing together? It's amazing. It's invigorating. And you want to be a part of that. Let's get in the choir and blend together, giving God the glory. Here were 10 men who'd been quarantined. Then they're healed, they're coming out of quarantine, and they have an opportunity and they have a choice to make. Where will they fall in the days ahead? Coming out of quarantine is a golden opportunity to fall on our face before a living, majestic, personally connected Messiah. Father, as we prepare in this moment to come to the communion table, may we be captivated by your grace again. May we be overwhelmed with your mercy. May we stay close to the feet of Jesus and fall on our face there in worship, in togetherness, and in service, giving you the glory that is due your name, and in our imperfect offerings, put the spotlight on you. We thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, a hope that has never left us in this last year and that will never leave us in this year. In the name of Jesus, we find strength and peace for today, and we come to your table in grateful remembrance again. Amen.